And then Brother Pope will bring us a lesson relative to this year's theme or goal. We never know what to call that, because our ultimate goal is for all of us to live our lives in a manner that's pleasing unto God, and we all get to heaven. But the elders started a few years ago, and I think it's a great idea for us to have something that we kind of concentrate on in that year to help us toward that end. This morning we'll be discussing those matters. And if you're visiting with us, if you bear with us, Brother Pope, who is our full-time gospel preacher, will bring us a lesson here in a few minutes. I'll bring the financial report, and Patrick will bring the statistics, and then Brother Pope will follow. On the financial, we will talk about contributions over the last 3 years. As you can see, in 2011, our average contribution per week is a little over $4,000. 2012, $4,162. And in 2013, $3,915. If you will, kind of keep in mind that 2012 figure of $4,162. We'll be referring back to that when we're talking about the budget for the coming year. The summary for the year of 2013, we had total contributions of $203,626.53, with expenses of $202,667.98. We had a net gain in our capital account, if you will, of $958.55. Please be assured that the elders, we realize the responsibility that we have to tend to the flock here and to look after your souls and to carefully consider how we spend the funds of this church that are given by you, very generous Christians, and we strive to always keep in mind the pattern and the instruction that we've received in God's Word. Our bank balance. Ahead of myself. Bank balance at the beginning of the year was $67,000. The end of the year was $68,000. So you can see there that gain of a little under $1,000 in cash in the bank. Funds are used to preach the gospel. We have Brother Pope, our full-time gospel preacher, and Andrew Dow, who began in June, is in our part of our preacher training program. We are certainly glad that we're able to continue that program. We think that's worthwhile and something that's pleasing unto God. Also, we have several gentlemen that we support, offer outside support for. I think we currently have eight. Javier Palomares, Spanish-speaking gentleman has services. He preaches in Dumas and in Amarillo at Pleasant Valley. We've supported him for several years, and we feel that Brother Palomares does an outstanding job. Jim Blackman in Hereford, Texas, we've supported for several years. Jerry Vinson, Greenwood Village, which is a Denver suburb. Jesse LaRue, he was preaching at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, and he's no longer there. He's finished that work there, and we're no longer supporting him, obviously. Thomas Morris from Springfield, Missouri. Richard Thedford, actually in Loveland, Colorado, just outside of Denver a little ways. Warren Schultz from South Africa, someone that we started supporting a little over a year ago. Derek Chambers in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Tim Stevens, we began supporting him in the latter part of 2013. As you can see, the support, the outside support for 2013 was $29,700. And we've committed to support outside preachers this year of 2014 of $31,200. We, as you know, we have two gospel meetings per year. This past year, we had Dane Shepherd from the Oklahoma City area and Norman Sewell from Arkansas. Coming year, the spring, we'll have Brother Melvin Curry from Florida, and in the fall, Brian Haynes from Oregon. Now we'll talk about our budget. This is where we'll if you'll remember back, the 2012 contribution was a little under what our budget for 2014. We're comfortable using that. You know, our numbers are dropped a little bit in 2013, and they have come back. And the latter part of 2013, our contribution averaged a little bit less than this $4,200. We have an increase, and I have on there $300. It's actually $230 per week, and we were just $40 short of this in the 2012, which I ask you to help me remember that 2012 figure. The increase will cover a full year of the preacher training program for Brother Dow, and an increase in outside support for preachers in the United States and abroad. And we've tried to cover usual inflation for utilities and other expenses. As anyone that's ever budgeted, whether it be for your household or otherwise, it's hard to think of everything, and it's hard to allow for everything that might potentially happen. But this process over the years has been somewhat perfected by elders in the past and Brother Kelly, who formerly an elder and now helps us with our bookkeeping and our financial keeping up with our financial affairs. We feel fairly comfortable that this $4,200 a week will suffice. Now, when we say budget, and I've had a few people ask me what that means, that's what we have to average on a weekly basis in order to meet the projected expenses of this church, which includes all of our expenses for the building, for our support of Brother Pope and Brother Dow, and our outside support. And we've allowed a little bit in the budget for some benevolence items, potential benevolence items. So that's what it takes on a weekly basis, on an average, to meet those obligations. We have been fortunate, continue to be fortunate, to have generous members who've always given of their means and are willing to contribute to support the work here. Patrick?
Good morning. My part of this is the statistics and the things that happened last year and where we're headed, and kind of a history lesson comparison, a few things. We're going to look at membership. We're going to look at attendance, and then we're also going to talk a little bit about the personal work groups that we started this year and how those things are going. First thing, let's look at our membership and the statistics that apply to our membership. We're going to compare 2011, 2012, 2013. It allows us to look back at history and see where we've been, kind of look at where we're going right now, and hopefully we'll see some upward trends and things that happen there. And as far as baptisms are concerned, in 2011 we had zero, 2012 we had four, and this last year we've counted 2013 we've counted three. We feel like we had some restored this year also comparatively. We went 2011 was two, and then both for 2012 and 2013 we had three folks that came back and have a desire to serve the Lord in the way that we believe the scriptures teach and the Bible lays out for us to do. moving in and moving out sometimes is difficult for us. When I first started this, 9 years ago or so, I wouldn't have ever thought there would be great drastic changes. But if you'll notice, in 2011, we had 21 members actually move in and place membership with us. In 2012, we had 6. And then this last year in 2013, we've had 23. And most of those have been within the last 6 months or so. But with moving in, also, we have people that move away from time to time. 2011, when we had 21 come in, we lost 11. And in 2012, we lost 18 folks that had other places to go, moved away, jobs, all kinds of things take people away. And in 2013, we've had 6 so far that have moved away from us. Also, unfortunately, every congregation and anybody that has friends and groups, death does affect us. This last year, we lost Brother Steve Weathers. As compared to 2012, we had a rough year. We lost 4, but in 2011, only 1. So one's too many, obviously, but then that's what we're looking for, is the beginning of the next part of our lives. Also, we have to compare and keep up with. We think about those who have left the Lord. This last year, we've been quite, I don't know that lucky is the right way to say, but we only lost one individual that we feel that has decided that they no longer wanted to serve the Lord and left us on that. So we look at totals, and if you consider the last few years, we're looking at nets right here, or changes, obviously. But in 2011, we grew by 9. In 2012, we lost 18. So we had some situations there in which Jeff was talking about when we lowered the weekly budget, what we were expecting, and we knew that it might be difficult that year. This last year, we've had an increase of 20. So that is also part of the reason why we feel like we can go ahead and meet the budget that we have set this year, because we do have several more people here. And hopefully, obviously, we always want to grow. That's our intentions. But spiritually, and is our first priority to feed the flock so that everybody grows spiritually. And we feel like through that process, we'll grow physically. But obviously, there's some things that we do not have control over as far as people moving in and moving out and things like that. Next, we want to look at attendance, because we have learned over the years and feel like attendance is one of the very first things that helps us or indicates that we may have some issues that we may need to address or look at. But we're considering, when we compare 2011, 2012, 2013, and then we're going to break off a separate column and look at the last 6 months of this year. As far as Bible class is concerned, we feel that Bible class is very, very important. It gives us an opportunity to ask questions and, come up with different subjects that we want to look into. In 2011, we had an average of 127 for Bible classes on Sunday morning. 2012, it went up to 129. And then as far as the whole of 2013 is concerned, we've dropped down to 120. But if we kind of look at the last 6 months, we're on the rise there up to 126. So it's really not causing a big concern for us at this point, but it's something that we obviously are watching. In the Sunday morning service here, 2011, we averaged 150. 2012, that dropped to 146. The very first part, 6 months, or the whole 2013 average is 139. But this last 6 months, our average is up to 143, and we've had some people move in that have helped us that way. So we wanted to not be too pessimistic in showing you that we're dropping, but things are changing or turning around a little bit. On Sunday evening, our averages are for 2011 were 119. For 2012, it was 115. 2013, as a whole, it's 111, but like I said, the last 6 months, it's 114. So it's on an upward trend. Wednesday night Bible classes, and like I said, we feel like Bible classes are very important for us. Average for 2011 was 116. We went up to 117 in 2012. We're showing a drop in 2013, but the last 6 months, we're back up to 117 where we were. So things are, like I said, on a little bit of an upward trend the last 6 months, and we hope that will continue. We have offset losses in 2012 of total of about minus 18, with good gains during 2013 of plus 20. So things are looking up as far as the physical attendance is concerned in statistics. Lastly, for my part anyway, we just want to look at some personal work groups. We started this last year. We had some folks come and talk to us a few times, and they were a little bit concerned about the relationships or the lack of opportunity to have relationships. And that is kind of a singular or an individual situation for an awful lot of people. But we talked about and tried to decide, is there something we really could do that might help? And we did come up with the personal work groups this last year. In 2013, we began three different personal work groups meeting, and we hoped that they would meet once a month, and that would be in members' homes. And the elders decided that we'd divide those up, and then we would take the lead with one for each group. We have had some very good participation this year, and we believe that the things that are being discussed in classes and in the work groups, we're growing through that process, and hopefully our love for each other is growing, and we're getting opportunities to spend time with each other where we might not have been able to in the past. And I can only speak really for my personal experiences here, but I think after talking to Jeff and talking to Kyle, they've seen a little bit of the same thing. When we first started, it was difficult. We really weren't sure where we were headed or what it was going to become. But over the last 7-8 months, it has become something that people are starting to look forward to. I think most people are enjoying it that are coming. We are studying subjects of interest most of the time for people that are there. We try to open it up and ask, what would you like to study? What do you want to talk about? Kind of gives you a choice in that sense also. But then it also gives you some opportunities to speak in a relaxed environment that's not quite as maybe stringent as people feel that they are when they're in the building. And things have worked out real well. We will keep the current groups going. We've been asked, all three of us, that seems like things were just starting to roll and get going good, and then we were going to switch groups. We've had several people ask, so we decided we would keep the current groups through August. And maybe that'll kind of put us in a situation where we can make rotations like the school when the new school year comes and change in September. And then we will assign new groups this coming September with each new school year. And if you have not been coming to the personal work groups that we assigned you to, if you'd like to, please come. We're not going to go chasing people down and ask them necessarily why they're not coming. It's obviously just like anything else. It's a choice. We're trying to set up an environment where people can get to know each other a little bit better and learn things at the same time and stay within the parameters of what scriptures teach us that we should be doing. But that's my part as far as the statistics are concerned, and we'll look at maybe what we're coming in the future. Ready, Brother Pope?
I might mention, I forgot to mention, there's some financial reports in the rack in the back if you're interested. Financial report in the rack in the back.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Jeff. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And before I begin, just on a personal note, I want to express what an honor I feel it is to serve as an elder for this congregation. What an honor I feel that it is to work with these men. If you are not aware of it, there is so much work that is involved in eldership. I had relatives that were elders before I became one and thought that I understood some things about that. But there is so much that's done behind the scenes. We as elders will meet every Sunday at 5, but there are often situations that arise during the week, at night, different kinds of times like that. And I want to personally express my appreciation to these gentlemen for the good work that they do in that regard. Isaiah chapter 6, I'd like for us to look together at verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And we begin in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal with which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. I call to your attention, first of all, the question that the Lord asks in this wondrous situation, this wondrous scene that Isaiah is allowed to see. And the question is asked by the Lord, whom shall I send? I'd like for us to recognize in this question what is true, I think, not only at this time, but true throughout different periods of God's dealings with mankind. That there are tasks that the Lord wants done and He wants His people to do. But as we think about this situation or we think about those that might apply to us today, the question always comes up, who will it be that will step up and do those tasks? And as Christians, we can think about some of the various kinds of things that might be involved in this, those kinds of works that are needed within the local church, those kinds of things that are needed to glorify and expand the borders of the kingdom. But I think you know as well as I do that so often when that question rhetorically is asked by the Lord, whom shall I send, far too often, there are excuses that we may make, reasons why we will not be the one to step up and do those things. It may be that we say within ourselves, well, you know, I can't speak very well. I can't talk to people very much. I'm not really very good at that. Go back in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Exodus, to Exodus chapter 4. And I wonder if a gentleman that also said a similar thing, we might imagine to be one such individual that would make such an excuse. You'll remember that Moses, when in fact the Lord appears to him and tells him what he has in mind for him to do, what he wants him to do to bring the Israelites out. Do you remember what it was that he said in verse 10? Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He didn't feel like he could do it, but the Lord understood and realized he could, and he made provision to help him, but he also expected him to step up and to do what was needed. You know, it may be that we look at such things and we say, well, you know, I'm just too weak. There's too many problems that I have in my life. Look over in Luke chapter 5 and think about another individual that we certainly think of as one that was very influential in the work of the Lord, very influential in the establishment of the church. In Luke chapter 5, I want you to notice what the Scripture records for us about an incident with the Apostle Peter. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, the attitude that we might have that says, well, look at all the mistakes I've made. Look at the sin that's been in my life. Look at how often I've fallen and I haven't done what I should. Think about Peter. The Lord used him, even though he felt that way about his own situation. Maybe it is that as we think about those things that need to be done, we look at our schedule. And whether it's that we're tied up with things that we ought to be tied up with, like working our job and providing for our family, or maybe it's just we've gotten so involved in the things of this life and affairs of this life, it's easy, isn't it, sometimes to think, well, you know, I know these things need to be done, but let somebody else do it. I don't have time. There's too many obligations that I have. Reminds us of Luke chapter 9. Look with me beginning in verse 57. At the attitude that some had who looked at Jesus and said, well, you know, I think I want to follow him. But how far would they go? Beginning in verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, we've all got the same amount of time in a day. We all have similar types of obligations. But the question is, will we follow the Lord? Will we recognize those things that need to be done? And will we be among those that will step up and do them? I think a problem that I think is particularly true in our generation is I think when it comes to attitudes towards work within the Lord's church, far too often I think we live in an age and we live in a culture in which even many within the denominational world have fostered this kind of idea as they've researched communities and found out what do you want within a local congregation. And the attitude is, what can you do for me? Look over, if you would, in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And an example in Scripture where I kind of think we see a similar sort of idea. When in fact two of the disciples, and if we harmonize this with the other accounts, we understand that they actually had their mother come and voice this plea before the Lord. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35, read with me down to verse 41. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us that we may sit on your right hand, sit on one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Then Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Notice the attitude here, verse 39. They said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to grumble and be displeased with James and John. Notice their attitude. You know, we're serving you, Lord, so we want these positions. We want this status. Look over in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Lest we are too hard on James and John. In Matthew chapter 19, we see that really this attitude probably characterized all of the disciples, thinking not about the honor that they were given to be disciples of the Lord, not thinking about what could they do to step up and do those things that the Lord would have them to, but more the attitude, what's in it for me? In Matthew chapter 19, begin with me in verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Notice that attitude. What's in it for me? You know, the impressive thing about the text that we began with in Isaiah chapter 6 is, in response to witnessing the glory of the Lord, Isaiah was humbled, wasn't he? Isaiah when he makes this statement, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I've seen the King. The coal is put to his lips. His sins are purged. And what is his response to that? His response is the declaration, here am I. Send me. His attitude was not, what's in it for me? His attitude was not, what excuses can I make? His attitude was not, I don't have time. His attitude was, what can I do to serve the Lord? With this in mind, the elders here at Olson Park would like to set as a goal for 2014 an emphasis on the idea of personal service. What can I do for the church? And with this in mind, there will be a few things that we'll try to do to emphasize this. Andrew and I, from time to time, will have some lessons on personal service, trying to think about and explore how can it be that we as individuals can step up and do those things that the Lord would have us to do. We will try to encourage personal involvement, thinking about, well, maybe some that haven't done some things before, how can we involve them? We'll have a teacher's meeting in a couple of weeks, and we'll try to figure out how can it be that we can encourage more involvement. We're also going to do something for the very first time this summer that is we're going to refer to as the Summer Bible Study. You know, we have so many talented people here, creative people. We were honored as elders some months back to have had two of our women, Carolee Yontz and Jonna Purcell, come and talk to the elders. And they had organized their thoughts and offered to us a proposal of something that they felt like would be a good thing to do, something that Carolee's father-in-law, Trevor's dad, had done in Albuquerque. And they submitted to us a proposal, and I've begun to work with them on that, and we're beginning to organize. We've got people doing it. We are going to, this summer, have a unique situation that we've not done here before at Olson Park that we'll refer to as a summer Bible study. The theme will be the Lord's Army. It will run June 26th, 27th, and 28th. Now, that's not our usual meeting times when we'll have gospel meetings. It's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and it'll be a little bit different than what we normally do. It will have an emphasis, perhaps, on children, although there will be an adult aspect of it as well. What it will involve is we'll meet actually for about an hour and a half, and during that time we'll have about 5 minutes that we'll all come together. We will sing some songs related to the theme of the Lord's Army, and then we'll split up the children into their classes. The adults will stay in here, and we'll have about 60 minutes for a period of study with those kids and in the auditorium here. And then we'll come back together for about 25 minutes in which we're going to kind of sing some songs again and help those children review some of the things that they studied in their class. And it's going to be, I think, a great thing. Each night we'll have a different emphasis upon this. The first night, the emphasis will be upon the armor of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Friday night, the emphasis will be fighting the enemy from Ephesians 6 verses 11 through 12. Saturday, the emphasis will be Jesus as the victor from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. Now, there are going to be some of the age groups that will address these things at a little different time, and that's going to be something unique about that. There'll be three of the classes that will rotate classrooms and hit one of these themes each night. But these will be the things that we will look at. Now, how are we going to carry this out, and how does this relate to what we're doing? Well, we have already talked to six teachers that are not usually those that have been able to teach or had the opportunity to teach. And those six have already agreed to teach and to write material for children's studies. You talk about personal service. You talk about giving of your time. You know, if you've ever done any preparation for Bible classes, if you've ever written any material, you know that that is a time-consuming kind of effort. And we've given them time between now and June to go ahead and get that process rolling. And we'll have some meetings from time to time to try to monitor our progress on that. For the adult session of it, we're going to have some area preachers that will come in and will lead our adult Bible study. So it'll be a treat for the adults and a treat for the young people as well. Now, related to personal service, here's what I want to offer to our membership here. Next Sunday night, February 23rd, after services, we're going to have a volunteer meeting. As you can imagine, with an effort like this, there are an awful lot of things that need to be done. We're going to try to have a couple of teachers and helpers in each classes. We may even try to encourage some of our teenage girls to get used to doing some teaching and helping with the kids. Next Sunday night, any who would be willing to volunteer to help in the planning and preparation and presentation of this effort, we'd like for y'all to meet in the middle classroom after services tomorrow or next Sunday night, and we'll talk a little bit more about the details about it. We'll get your name down, and we'll try to get you going with this. As I said, this could be teens. This could be older members. Maybe you don't feel like you can teach a class on a regular basis, but there are ways you can help out with this. We'd like to have you volunteer for that. The issue is, and I think this is just one example where we can ask ourselves the question, what can I do? What can you do to serve the Lord? And that's our goal that we will set for the year ahead. And I'm excited about it. I know the other elders are excited about it. And I think that it will be a good emphasis for us. Well, if you're visiting with us, as we've said, it's a little unusual today, the way that we approach things. But our goal is to try to follow the Word of God. And in every effort that we make as a congregation, as elders, we're trying to encourage that in our membership so that we can serve the Lord in a way that is sound and acceptable in His sight. We can live in such a way that we are pleasing to Him. He's done so much for us. He's loved us so much. Having sent His Son to die for us, we stand unworthy of that grace and mercy. But we want to do all that we can to serve Him personally, to express our gratitude for the salvation that He offers by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you have never been obedient to the gospel, we urge you to put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn away from sin that would separate you from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If as a child of God you've not been faithful to the Lord, you've not been serving Him personally, whether it's the excuses we talked about a few moments ago or something else has gotten a hold of you, we as your brothers and sisters in Christ have the privilege to pray to God on your behalf, encourage you in your restoration, encourage you in your repentance. And if we can help, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.